It's one thing to get my point of view. It is another to get the point of view of somebody who not only played the game, but he played the game at the highest level for 17 years. He was a World Series champion as well, and an All-Star. He currently is an MLB Network analyst. He is the president of the Cliff Floyd Foundation. MLB Network is going to air the Nationals World Series Championship Parade Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can continue to watch Cliff on MLB Tonight throughout the entire offseason. We are joined again by Cliff Floyd. Cliff, good to have you back. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Cliff, let me start here. Like, watching that game last night, the Nationals, because they had never won before, it was amazing to see them celebrate the way they did. As somebody who's won a World Series, when you see a team celebrate a World Series for the very first time, what kind of thoughts, emotions do you have? What did you think when you saw them?
I thought they let everything of the whole season out. I think it was more, it seemed like it was a little surreal for them at the moment. But when you saw Scherzer and you saw some of these guys just go about their business, like, you know what, man, this has been something that you could sort of write a book about. I mean, how they started, how they finished, and it goes down that whole road, Jim, of it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, they're the prime example of that one.
Cliff Floyd joining us. Exactly right, Cliff. Now, you and I have talked in the past, and you played through injuries in your career. Knowing that, what did you think as you watched Max Scherzer, a guy who couldn't even dress himself on Sunday, take the ball last night and battle the way he did in Game 7?
Man, you know what? You always talk about taking your hat off for guys like that. As a former player that would do anything for my boys when I walked through those clubhouse doors every day, you know, it was more of forget the hug. Just know that there's nobody else you would want that foxhole with you other than Max Scherzer, man. And you know, it takes more than guts. Sometimes it takes, you know, everything, determination. It's beyond that. It's almost like you know how much your boys count on you and lean on you, and it's not, you can throw the money away, Jim. You can throw all the things that come along, all the accolades that he's accomplished, throw all the Cy Youngs away. That moment for him sort of solidified, you know, why he in the off season do all the work, why he, you know, chose that team, why he always talks about those 25 guys. He loves those dudes. He loves every single person in that clubhouse. And when he went on that field the day before and was able to sort of, you know, get that relief by throwing this little side and being able to let it all out, you just sort of knew that he was coming with it. And he did. He maxed out everything he had last night, and it showed. He didn't have his best stuff. You know, his secondary stuff was nowhere near what we've seen from Max. They missed his fastball, and that's why he was able to get through those tough innings where he left so many guys on base, because he was so determined to make sure that, you know what, he trusted his stuff. He trusted, you know, what he's been able to grab from his back pocket numerous times, which is his fastball that he can rely on. And those guys fouled it off, and they missed it. So when they hit a fly ball to center field or just missed one 3-0, as we saw with Springer, all these things happen because Max is that dude is just going to trust, you know, what he has and live with the results.
Cliff Floyd joining us. I love that, Cliff. In fact, you kind of answered my next question in part, but let me just take a shot at this anyway. How do you explain that? Cliff, you've got Houston. They're getting guys on base, but they couldn't cash it in. They couldn't score. Is that on Houston, or is that just a credit to Scherzer and how tough he was grinding and battling?
Well, you know, it showed that Houston is human. That's what it showed. I mean, that team, Jim, if you look back on the numbers, and numbers don't lie, it was, what, 16-21 at home? They beat you down at home, right? They put pressure on you. They stay on you. They grind you. They put you in the positions that they had Max in last night. They put you in those positions, but they come through. So you have to give the credit to Max and go, look, I mean, this dude in fastball counts. What's throwing his fastball? In counts where you're thinking, man, is he going to throw the secondary stuff? His secondary stuff is not crisp. But is he still going to go to it? No, he's going to challenge you again with the fastball. So I think those were moments where you give credit what credit's due. And Max was like, look, my stuff is not good secondary-wise. I have to throw my fastball. At least I'm throwing 96, 97. if you're able to square it up, then guess what? I'm going to take an L, and we're going to have to, you know, just be able to say it was a great season, and we're going home. But it didn't happen that way. Like I said, Jordan flew out the center field. Springer lined out to left. They left 8-9 guys on early, and Max was able to get through 5 tough innings.
He is an MLB Network analyst. He is a World Series champion. Remember, the MLB Network is going to air the Nationals World Series Championship Parade Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Cliff Floyd joining me. Cliff, you tell this great story. In fact, you did recently about the 97 season with the Marlins. Late July, the team makes a deal for Darren Dalton. Within a couple of days now, he calls a team meeting. Before we get into the meeting itself, what does that say about a guy that he can show up within a few days and he's the one calling a team meeting? What did you think when that happened?
I just thought, man, this is, you know, sometimes, you know, you need a player to come through and help you, you know, offensively. You need a player to come through from a pitching standpoint and help you on the pitching mound. We need a dude to come through that's been through it before, that has some clout, that was a stud on the opposite side, that's been an NL East, you know, lifer, as Dutch was with the Phillies, to come in and tell us about ourselves as an outsider looking in. And that's exactly what he did, Jim. He came in and told us what we look like from the other side. We look like a country club, literally. And I thought, exactly what we needed to hear, but I was a youngster. Well, I wasn't going to say it, right? And I think, you know, when you look at certain teams and dynamics and how Mike Rizzo, the GM, went out and was able to bring in a guy like Daniel Hudson, who pitched for 3 teams. I told you that story last time. Daniel Hudson was in Toronto when I was calling games this year. I'm thinking to myself, he's just trying to get himself back on the map and get his feet up under him so he can get somewhere else. And look where he ends up, getting the last 3 outs of a World Series in the same season. Certain things you just can't put your finger on as why they happen. We need a Dutch at that particular time to tell us about our team that was, in my opinion, a star-studded team. And when you look at certain guys, you know, Howie Kendrick, Daniel Hudson, you know, all these guys that are able to do things for this Nationals team, that's exactly what Dutch did for us when we acquired them back in 97.
Cliff Floyd joining us. So, yeah, if you have guys like that, they've got obviously a lot of grit, a lot of character, but chemistry, right, Cliff? When you look in that clubhouse and that dugout, that chemistry the Nationals had, how much of that identity, that chemistry, was crucial to their success?
It's everything, man. It really is, bro. You know, even Strasburg, what you look at a dude and you know he's uncomfortable doing some of the things and hear him afterwards go, look, man, I did some stuff this year I wasn't comfortable with. That is exactly what you're looking for. Take dudes out of their norm coming to the ballpark and we'll get this thing straight. Trust me. I mean, Howie Kendrick and Eaton down at the end of the dugout, you know, drag racing, the dancing, those are things that bring – you together. When you look at what the Astros were able to do a couple years ago, they had the strobe lights in the clubhouse, they had the dancing, they had everything. They had the camera shooting on them when they went deep. A lot of things and a lot of similarities of what the Astros were a couple years ago. You look at this Nats team, they had the same thing going on for them, and it worked for them at the opportune time, and they took advantage of it and rode it to the promised land.
Hey, Cliff, I don't know where you come out on this. Like, I don't want to be the old guy, get off my lawn, the old school guy. But, I mean, I love all the new celebrations. You and I can argue about whether or not Alex Bregman should take the bat up the first baseline. That did not bother me at all. In fact, his apology kind of bothered me more. Personally, Cliff, I still think Jeffrey Leonard going one flap down was the best thing ever. But that was back in the day. But what about that drag race at the end of the dugout? How cool is that?
Bruh. It's everything for me. I look forward to it. Like, it's one of those things, like, you know, you look forward to certain things happening in the game. And I thought this. I thought game 4, Howie Kendrick 0-for-4, 3 punch outs. I'm thinking, man, at some point, maybe Matt Adams gets a start. Maybe, you know, Brian Dozier gets a start. Something is going to have to give. And credit to Davey Martinez for staying the course, giving them an opportunity to have your boy come through and get the drag racing on and popping. That to me was everything for Howie Kendrick, a guy who's battled so much, 36 years of age, Jim, and still battling to be that guy in the right situation to come through, and he did. And that in itself gives you that as an ex-player, you know, that satisfaction of sitting on the couch with your fam going, man, that's what it's all about.
You know, it's funny when you talk about sitting on the couch with your fam. I was watching the game last night, live with my wife, Janet. We had season seats for the Angels for a few years, and she kept saying to me, Howie Kendrick, he was not like that when he played for us, quote, us. I'm like, yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was, man. Pro's pro. And the wife, she was so funny. She's really sweet, my wife, but she's like, no, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. It seems to me, Cliff, the last guy you want to run into in the postseason is Anthony Rendon this postseason, and Howie's not far behind. But what about Rendon? How can you explain this guy showing up the way he did time after time after time, late in the game, biggest stage, runners on? Is that something you can train and develop, or are we talking about a clutch gene that either you have or you don't?
You know what? You hit it right on the head. You can't. Certain things you can't teach. I try to tell this to all the kids I teach and talk to today is you can't teach IQ. You got to come with it. You got to come with something. Give me something. Work on your craft. But understand that your IQ is going to take you to the promised land. Just remember that. And when you watch an Anthony Rendon play, you see a sense of, you know, a guy that's not complacent, but you see a sense of calmness. And it starts by understanding how good you are and then knowing that, you know what, you're going to take anything that comes negativity out your mind. Just how the way he talks, the way he presents himself, you know, everybody goes, well, you know, he's short of words. Why talk a lot? I don't want a guy that talks a lot. I want a guy to ball like he does, one of the best third basemen defensively, one of the best offensive players in the game. You know, he ain't talked about money. He got seven years, $15 million sitting on the table, just sitting there chilling if he wants it. This is the player I want. I want 24 Anthony Rendons on my squad, and trust me, every year I'll be playing for the chip. Believe that.
Cliff Floyd joining us. Cliff, before he goes, so where does this leave the Astros? Like, when they look back on this, are they going to tip their hat to a team that got it done, or do you think they're going to be haunted by it? And if so, what's going to haunt them the most?
Well, you can talk about the Gerrit Cole situation. I won't. I've never believed that those situations are easy for any manager to make, because you're still talking about a whole different process, Jim, for a guy that's never done that, coming out the bullpen, for a guy that's coming off 2 days rest. It's a lot of pressure. These are some big innings you're asking this dude to go out there and eat. You're asking him to get out some big outs in a certain situation to a team that's, you know, you can say that weren't, you know, that wasn't offensively on point yesterday. That's fine. But they're a team that has shown that they stay the course. They play nine innings. They're going to put the pressure on you at some point. It's very hard for a manager to make that decision on the fly and leave it at that. I'm right along with AJ as far as going with Will Harris, as far as going with the bullpen that got him there, because I thought the bullpen was really good. I think they just have to hang their hat on. They ran into a team that was determined a little bit more and was able to finish the job. That's just it. That's what you hang your hat on. Lastly, I'll say this. I don't know if you can ill afford to lose Gerrit Cole and keep this one opportunity with this squad going. I think you guys are throwing the money and hope he stays. I don't think, and listen to his presser, that he does that. But I think that would be a real big slap in the face if you lose a guy like Gerrit Cole. Even though you guys like Grinke, I get it. But Gerrit Cole is that difference maker, game changer.
You know, Cliff, I'm glad to hear you say that, and I really agree with you with what you said about A.J. Hinch. I don't think it's as easy as just give the ball to Gerrit Cole. He hasn't done that since he was a freshman in college, and I agree with you. That bullpen was a strength. They went to their strength. It didn't work out. That happens sometimes. So what about Gerrit Cole? If you're Gerrit Cole, Cliff, what do you do? What do you think he wants? I mean, if you're represented by Scott Boras, as an example, do you go where the money is no matter what? Or is there an argument to be made that this is the best situation for him? What do you think is in his head right now?
Well, I kind of put together this little whole, I don't know if Ryu opts out of his contract. Strasburg, if I'm not mistaken, gentlemen, he can opt out of his contract as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now if I'm the Angels, where you look at Gerrit Cole growing up in that area, then it makes sense for me to go out and acquire two big time pitchers, go with Ohtani, right, and sort of slide into that rotation and make that thing worthwhile for him to sort of go and play for the LA Angels. If not, you got to go to the Yankees. It just makes too much sense for you to be a big star, you know, on the big stage, bright lights, New York City. And you're coming from an organization that's about winning. It's about what you believe in now. You've learned a lot from Justin Verlander. You learn a lot from how they build their family. That's their culture in Houston. I don't know any player that wants to go from winning to losing. Now, I'm not saying leave money on the table, because he definitely shouldn't have to do that. But when you talk about a winning culture that you've been a part of, and you've left a situation that was up and down with the Pirates before you got to Houston, I don't think you want to go down that road again. So if it's the Angels and they acquire another big-time starter, then it makes some sense. If you're the only guy that's going to the Angels and think this thing going to turn around with just you and Trout, it ain't going to work, in my opinion. So I say the Yankees is the only other destination that I think makes a lot of sense for him and where he's at in his career, and it's the biggest stage where I think his stuff plays.
Cliff Floyd, my guest. All right, Cliff, so I mentioned you're going to continue to do MLB Tonight throughout the offseason. How do you approach the offseason? Do you get some time with the fam? What are you going to do?
Yeah, man, get time with the fam. My boy is starting his basketball season. Ex-NBA star Roger Bell is our coach over here, so I told him, look, there's no more coming to the gymnasium thinking your stuff don't stink. Now you got to do just gonna tell your stuff stink. So come ball, and I get a chance to watch them and let them grow in the backyard. So I play daddy daycare, daddy of the year.
Cliff, what's that like, man? Do you kind of lay out and let him do what he does and figure this thing out, or are you into him pretty hard and coaching him pretty hard? How do you approach that?
No, I don't say nothing, man. I promise you I don't. I'm not dad that sort of just, you know, I let him do him, man. I think that's my dad was never that dude that was on me. I think the one thing he's always tell me, hey, did you try your best? And it took me a while to stop lying to him and telling him, yeah, I tried my best, knowing I didn't. And when I finally understood what he was getting at, it made a lot of sense, and it helped me so much in my career, because when the game was over, I was able to trash it, good or bad, and move on to the next. That, to me, gave me longevity in my sport. I was able to try to keep my mind calm, whether it was good or bad. So I just tell my dude every time, look, try your best, do everything you can, and then when the game's over, throw it in the trash. I don't care how good you are.
So, Cliff, last thought. We all got kids, or most all of us have kids. How old were you when you figured that out? How old were you when you were finally honest with yourself and with your old man, and you knew you were trying your best?
Man, I had to be it really hit home probably in my second year, probably my second, third year in the league.
This Not till then.
Past high school. This is me thinking I was so good in high school that I was going to always be as good. And then when you run into competition as good as you, you're thinking, well, now what? Now these dudes just as good as you. You going to now succumb to the pressure? No. So I started realizing that my efforts were going to have to change. They was going to have to be different. They was going to have to come. I was going to come to the park and understand what a regimen meant. What does a regimen mean to you? Well, that means coming to the ballpark and establishing what your day is going to consist of, and then making time for yourself to whether do an interview for Jim Rome or whatever the case may be, and then get ready for that 7 o'clock game. So once I got that in place, then everything else sort of, you know, fell into place. It sort of fell as I saw it falling. I was like, okay, today, 0-4, 4-4, I still have to have the same regimen tomorrow. New pitcher, but same results, meaning that my approach don't change. You know, nothing changes. It's just I'm just setting my sights on, you know, whoever I'm facing that night. And I kept it going, and I kept it going. Now, you fall off when you start to struggle. That's when you challenge mentally the most. And when you're struggling, man, you thinking the world's going to end. When you're going well, you don't even know why you're going well. So I think it was my job to figure out how I was going to get through the tough times through the course of a season. And I figured out some years, and some years I had no clue.
It's Cliff right now, and I'm so greedy, man. I've kept you so much longer than I meant to. Do you maintain a regimen? I mean, obviously your life is different, your process is different, your work is different, but this regimen you're talking about that got you through, that made you who you were, do you maintain that regimen right now, today, at this point in your life?
You have to. I think it's the most important thing to anything we do. I never disrespect the 9-to-5. I felt like everybody, you know, it what you do for a living doesn't define who you are. So I think that allowed me to be able to make that transition from my first career to what I'm doing now. And I think what I'm learning now is I speak with conviction, whether I'm wrong or right. And I try my best, and obviously, to be right and know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. But it's conviction in everything I do. So I think that in itself is important. And now I have so much love for, you know, what the sport has taught me and where I'm going. And I think, you know, I try to instill out of my kids, like, look, you know, I might be done with one thing, but I'm on to the next in a good way. And that in itself, they see me still grinding, working hard for them. And that's important. That to me is something I always cherish for the rest of my life, and I want them to understand that.
My man. MLB Network analyst, a World Series champion, an all-star, 17 years in the major leagues, the president of the Cliff Floyd Foundation. Remember, MLB Network is going to air the Nationals World Series Championship Parade Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and be sure to watch Cliff on MLB Tonight throughout the offseason. Cliff, it goes without saying, I couldn't appreciate you anymore, man. Thank you so much, and I love that conversation.
No, you know what? Thanks for having me always, my man.
Cliff Floyd. And trust me when I tell you this, I could have done that for another hour. Easy.